A Miracle of Love. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1845. Prince Niccolo of Viennes rode his horse up to the front door of the palace and dismounted. There was a moment's pause before a groom came running from the direction of the stables. "Your Royal Highness be back here early," he said breathlessly. "Yes, I know," the prince replied, "but I think this horse is going lame on its left leg. Tell Petri to see to it." "Very good, Your Royal Highness." The groom took the horse slowly away, and the prince walked into the palace. "Your Royal Highness is back early," one of the equerries piped up, having hurried into the hall when he saw him appear. "As I have already been told," the prince answered rather sharply. "Where is Her Royal Highness?"
"She is in the garden, sire. I think Comte Ruta is showing Her Royal Highness the lake."
The prince nodded. He walked towards the side of the palace which led into the garden, thinking as he did so that he should last night have suggested to the princess that she might like to ride with him in the morning. He had been so bored over dinner that he had not actually considered what would happen the next day. Princess Marzial of Byzance had arrived yesterday with an entourage of ladies-in-waiting and a countess to chaperone her. The prince had felt hostile from the very moment they stepped into the palace. He had fought against his government, his relatives, and even his own people in his determination not to marry. Eventually, because of the number of revolutions that had taken place in principalities around him, he had yielded to the urgent request. Such a marriage would unite Byzance, quite a large independent country, with his own, and make them both stronger. Viennes had managed to remain independent while revolutions or annexations had taken place in many states in that part of northern Italy since the defeat of Napoleon. The prince had often thought it was Napoleon who had upset everything, and so it was difficult for the smaller states and principalities to continue on their own. The larger countries bordering Viennes were greedy, and Austria particularly had been a menace for a long time. The prince felt that his prime minister was being over-anxious, and yet he was well aware that a tie between Viennes and Byzance would surely make them both stronger. At the same time, he had no wish to marry anyone. At 27, he was enjoying life enormously. On his father's death, he had reigned for the last 5 years in Viennes, and he had his own ideas, and they were forceful ones, of all he could do for his country. He was very conscious that the people he ruled over admired him and were willing to follow him, but he had been obliged to listen to endless bleatings that he should marry and produce an heir and many younger sons. "It is no use leaving it too long, my dearest," his mother had said with tears in her eyes. "Supposing something happens to you, although I pray to God it will not, you know as well as I do, there is no one competent to take your place." "I am well aware of that," Prince Niccolo replied. "Equally, I can hardly imagine any heir, if I had one, taking over the country and being able to rule it for at least the next 20 years. He was speaking sarcastically, but his grandmother added quite seriously, "Of course the Prime Minister and the Cabinet will do that, but it would make sure of the continuity of our family. As you well know, we have now reigned in Viennes for over 3 centuries. "Hanging on at times by the skin of our teeth," the prince countered jokingly. However, his grandmother still looked worried. "I grant you there have been many anxious moments, but the family has survived, and that is what you must ensure for the future.